The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Notice what God has to say in Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins, or the house of Israel their sins, which means the United States and the British people. At that time, of course, it would have meant the whole 12 tribes of Israel. But now it's specifically aimed at the house of Israel, which God calls the United States and the British people. We don't like to hear about our individual or national sins. We want to hear smooth things, whether from politicians or religious leaders. But God says the reason that we have so many problems is because of our many sins. Our problems will continue to escalate unless we change our course. Repent of breaking God's law, which is sin, and rend our heart to God. Just maybe we should look at God's law. Just maybe that's something that we should start thinking about when we look around and see the condition that our nation is in. Notice the first commandment, and as we go through this, ask yourself, do I break it? That's important, my friends. You may not think so, but someday you're going to realize that that is very important, and you should realize that now, and I hope that you do. Notice Exodus 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Eternal your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Well, do we as a nation, do we have other gods before the true God? Do you as an individual? You need to ask yourself this question. How many false gods do we have? Just maybe we should try to count them. A false god is anything that you put before the true God. Could it be self? Could it be a me-first attitude? Well, yes, of course it could. Could it be your home, your job, your automobile, your spouse, your kids? Do you idolize movie, TV stars and athletes, politicians or anyone else, such as religious leaders that puts on their great shows and draws great crowds? Could it be money or pleasure, your TV, or a number of other things? Just maybe you should think about the things that come between you and God. Could it be that you want to be like everyone else, or just don't want to be thought of as odd, and you let that come between you and God? Anything that you let come between you and God that takes your time away from serving God can be a false god. Hear that again. Can be a false god. Going on here in Exodus 20, verse 4, we get into the second commandment. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Eternal your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now here God is giving his commandments to ancient Israel, and they do exist today, my friends. They are alive and well today, and we should be living by them. And if we were, we wouldn't be having all the problems that we have in our nation. You wouldn't be having near the problems that you are having as an individual. I guarantee you that. Because God's law is a way that brings peace and joy and happiness and contentment and well-being to an individual or to a nation. Well, do we see any of that in our nation? Do we see any false gods in our nation? You can answer that question for yourself. Going on here in verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now this is the third commandment that God is getting into here. Now how could we use God's name in vain? Notice an example, or a few examples, that Christ has given in his word. Mark 7, beginning in verse 5. Then the scribes and Pharisees asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Christ is speaking to religious leaders of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees, and notice what he said here. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. These were the religious leaders of Christ's day that he called hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they were pretenders. They were hypocrites. They put on a show. They made it look good. They wanted to look pious and religious to other people. They weren't too concerned about what God thought about them. Are we that way today? Maybe you should ask yourself that. Verse 7, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Yes, God says if you teach or you obey the doctrines, the commandments of men, and claim to be a Christian, you are worshiping God in vain. You are doing it all in vain. And God says don't take his name in vain. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. But notice that, my friends, God says you lay aside the commandment of God and you hold to traditions of men. Now, do we do that today? Does that happen in Christianity today? Is Sunday just a tradition of men? Maybe you need to ask yourself that. Maybe you need to look into that question. Is Sunday just a tradition of men, worshiping on Sunday, ignoring the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, the fourth commandment, which we will get into before the series of this program is over? Maybe you should ask yourself some of these questions, and you ought to want to give yourself an answer, my friends, because your eternal life depends on this. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Well, I ask again, does that go on in Christianity today? Maybe you should ask your pastor about some of these things. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Well, do we honor our father and mother today? That's not too hard to figure out, is it? But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is korban, that is, dedicated to the temple, and you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Yes, many such ways we break God's law is what Christ is saying here, by holding on to our traditions. We have many traditions, don't we, in our churches. And have you ever wondered if they came from God, if they came from Christ, if they came from the Bible, or if truly they are pagan and traditions of men? Matthew 15, beginning verse 7, says this, hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, meaning they put on a show and they don't want to and they don't intend to obey God, or they want to look pious and religious before mankind. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Christ tries to make that clear and plain to us, that if we're making the commandments of God of no effect in our life, that we are only worshiping him in vain. So if you want to know what kind of life you will have in this life, and where you will land at the end of this life, and where you will be when you are resurrected, all you have to do is ask yourself, whose servant am I? Who do I worship? Notice in Luke 6, verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Maybe that's a question that we should ask ourselves. Christ asks us a question here. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Now, just maybe we ought to care enough to give Christ an answer. Maybe we ought to answer this question. Christ is telling you that it is all in vain to claim to worship God, to claim to be a Christian, if you aren't obeying him. Does anyone do that today? Do you? Going on here in verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Now the rock that Christ is speaking about here is himself. He is called the rock in the word of God. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. In other words, this is someone that is sincere in serving God, that is sincere in obeying God, not holding on to your own tradition or traditions of someone else, not caring or fearing what others think about you because you are different, because you do obey God, because you do want to and try to live by His law, because you look into the Word of God to see what is true and pure religion and what a Christian should do and how he should conduct himself. God is saying if you do that and you continue with that mindset and attitude, that you are building your house on a rock, something that will not tumble, something that will not fall. But he who heard and did nothing. Now notice, there's a lot of people that hear God's word today and they do nothing. And Christ is aiming this verse at them. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. In other words, Christ is saying that your life is going to end with a crash unless you begin to obey God. Notice what James said in the book of James here, chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Yes, the implanted word, the word of God that you want to, and that you allow God to implant in your heart and in your mind, and you remember it and you live by it. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Yes, God says if you are a hearer of his word and not a doer, you will automatically think that you're okay just because you hear God's word, or just because you know this or that about God's word. And that's where Satan wants you, my friend, and you need to wake up to that fact. But God says, if you are a hearer of his word and not a doer, you're only deceiving yourself. You're trying to tell yourself that you're all right and that you don't need to obey and that you don't need to change your life, your mind, your attitude, and your character. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. In other words, you forget that you should obey God. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now notice, James is talking about what we've been talking about, the Ten Commandments here. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and James calls the law, God's law, the law of liberty, the law that sets you free, yes, and gives you a good life. But he who looks into the law of liberty, that is God's law, and continues in it, lives accordingly, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Well, my friend, I see my time is just about up. We'll pick this up in our next program. We hope you keep listening. We invite you to request our free literature that will help you to understand some of these things that we're trying to bring out. And it's very important that you understand, my friend, that you are to be a doer of God's law, of God's word, and not just a hearer. It's very important that you realize that you should turn loose of traditions and begin to obey God. Because I'll tell you, my friends, you are going to land with a crash if you don't. Request our free literature, Born with a Purpose and Reap a Destiny, by calling the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or you can visit us online at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to continue to listen to the Way It Ought to Be program on this station and several others.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org, or call us at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.